Well, Father's Day. Let's face it, it is the neglected stepchild of Mother's Day. The afterthought, all of the kind of ideas that people have about Mother's Day are interesting. The theory that it came from the greeting card industry, the theory that it was just promoted by the flower industry, or the later on continued by Ma Bell, was the real mother they were talking about, because it still is the number one phone call day of the year. And Father's Day is, let's face it, its uniqueness is this. It is the only holiday that was created in order to create gender equity for males. So it should be celebrated for its uniqueness. Father's Day presents lots of problems emotionally, far more than Mother's Day usually presents. Mothers are generally satisfied with almost any kind of gift or card, whether we write it personally or it's even a prefabricated card. And Mother's Day was created, actually, by some fairly radical women. It was created by political women. Some universalist women were involved in the creation of Mother's Day in order for society to recognize the real role that women played in the lives of this nation and in its people. Father's Day was gender equity. And Father's Day is a pain in the neck because men are absolutely impossible to shop for. Men and women have completely different traditions and understanding about shopping, and I can only go to this extraordinarily sexist gender stereotype because it's Elaine Boozler's observation, and I think it's right. She's a comedian. And Elaine Boozler observed that men and women don't speak the same shopping language because women are gatherers and men are hunters. And they don't really go off on the same kind of expeditions. That when a woman goes out to get a blouse, a guy thinks a woman's going out to get a blouse. So you see that first blouse? Hey, you got a blouse there. Neat. Take it home. After she has gone and seen 17 white blouses and tried on 14 of the white blouses, the men are beside ourselves because we don't understand what she's doing. She's looking for the perfect ripe fruit. Not the stale fruit, not the overripe fruit, not the green fruit, but the perfect one. That's why she doesn't get the first one or the third one or even the 14th, but goes back after the 14th to the sixth one, which turns out to have been the best. Men, on the other hand, if we need a woolly mammoth, we go out, we see a woolly mammoth, we spear a woolly mammoth, we drag a woolly mammoth back to the cave. End of story. You get the first one. I mean, if I need a shirt, I go out, I need a white shirt. I shoot down that first white shirt and drag it back to the cave. I don't try on 17 white shirts, but I'm a hunter, not a gatherer. And that's a very big difference, and it's immensely helpful in understanding why it is that it is so difficult to shop for men, and why Father's Day often involves this. And this, in fact, was a Father's Day present from two of my kids. They figured Jerry Garcia tie, Berkeley 60s, Jerry Garcia tie. Here's the deal. Men, if we need it, we've bought it. If we don't need it, we haven't bought it. So if you buy us something, we think it's criticism. If you buy us a shirt, it's, well, you must not think that we have very good taste in shirts. Men and women are real different on this. There's no woman in the world, I think, who would receive a gift of perfume as reproach. But if you give a guy soap on a rope, he's going to think it's a comment on our personal hygiene. I know men are supposed to be more secure and all that stuff, but we're not. We take this stuff as a personal affront. We also deal with clothing differently. A man gives a woman, a negligee. For some reason, the woman thinks that that's the man's gift to himself. It's an implied contract, or it's certainly a sublimated wish. Or a guy does the other fatal mistake and gives the woman, a vacuum cleaner, a can opener, a nice osterizer, a food processor. This is because men think that this is the female equivalent of power tools, which is what we really want. Give us power tools, we think it's neat. Give you power tools, and we're sleeping on the couch for a week. It just doesn't seem to work out the same. It's a different kind of language. It's a different kind. And ties. Can we talk about ties for a moment? Ties are work clothes. Not since Ozzie Nelson and Father Knows Best has a man, I think probably not even Dick, sat around in the house wearing a tie with a shirt that goes with the tie. Am I right here? Or do you actually wear that sitting around for dinner? I certainly don't. Most guys, let's face it, male plumage in the animal kingdom, of which men belong, is designed for just one thing. And when a guy says just one thing, we all know what it is. It's mating. So that after we have matched and mated, a t-shirt and plaid shorts is really all that we need. So when you give us ties and dress shirts, these are work costumes. This is the equivalent of the can opener and giving you the sawtooths. It's a different gift language that we speak. Different Mars, the kitchen and garage. It's not Mars and Venus. It's kitchen and garage. The other thing is the emotional payoff. When you shop for a woman, you get a reaction. Laughter, tears. When you shop for a guy, guys give you blunted affect, Oh, yeah, well, thanks. I'll get good use out of that. That's a real incentive to go out there and put some thought in it, isn't it? We also, incidentally, don't get the shoes thing. Along with the shopping, we don't get the shoes thing. Shoes are to keep the rocks from your feet, If you notice the shoes, forget about it. I actually am the exception on the shopping thing. I like shopping, but I come from a family that was in the clothing industry, but I don't even get the shoe thing. My wife Imelda, I don't understand that aspect of her whatsoever. And believe me, I'm an enabler, but I'm not a shopper for it. I won't actually go out and buy shoes because I have no idea what the aesthetic comfort criteria are for shoes. Oh, aren't those darling? Honey, I tried this once. Honey, if I start thinking your shoes are darling, lock me up. Worry about me, seriously, because let's not go there. It's craft ebbing and you can look it up. The other part's the emotional payoff. Men just don't show the emotion that gives you the incentive to go out there and do it. We are a little bit locked up, a little bit reticent, and we don't want to show if we're touched. I started crying in the second verse of our second hymn. Caught me by surprise. And I was flashing back to my memories of being a father, of carrying my children around all through the night and worrying about them. I was dealing with my memories of my own father and of my own mother, and those wonderful tear, if not guilt-inducing stories about how I kept them up all night with my high fever and endless wailing. And there is there is that connection that we make, and we're reticent to show our tears. We're reticent to show our emotion. I think Father's Day is an important opportunity. I think it's an important opportunity because fathers are under-recognized in our society. Not men. Men are over-recognized in our society. Men get most of the perks, including serving in the infantry and dying 8 years earlier. But other than that, we get most of the perks. Fathers don't. Too many people, too many men, and an increasing number of women, see fathers simply as sperm donors. It's a biological act, not a continuing act. And we need, as a society, as men, to understand that fatherhood implies time and connection and commitment. It isn't a, oh, I'm a father, the equipment works, here's the cigar. Freud didn't live in vain, they give cigars. Oh yeah, it works. It's not about that. It is about how we transmit not simply our genes, but much more importantly, our values and ourselves to our children. Many men are very busy building houses and paying for houses without inhabiting and making them homes. If I had to pick one regret in my life, and it's a hell of a smorgasbord to have to pick from, but the one that I would pick is having that television on at the dinner hour all too often. The current news out there wasn't more important than the news and the views from the kids and with the kids. We live in a society that wants to do everything in a hurry. We've invented this wonderful term, quality time. I hate the term quality time because it is so much like what we do with so many aspects of American society. We've got the super workout that you can do in 3 minutes, what normally would take you 20 minutes. Maybe it works out for the workout, but not for the kids. The kids need time that isn't compressed, that isn't intense, that's just hanging around. Men need to know that it's okay not to have answers, not to have to be Father Knows Best, not to have to be lecturing, but just hanging out, spending time, going for walks with our children. Our children, as everyone's children, learn what they live. Our children, whatever we tell them our values are, learn to put together patterns and meaning. When my son Adam was about 3 years old and his room was officially declared a federal toxic waste site, and I said, honey, I think you should go in the room and pick it up. And he said, who's coming over? Busted. He knew we cleaned up for company. Kids put together who we are, what our priorities are, what we care about, not what we tell them, but what we do. And time is the ultimate gift that we have as fathers, as mothers, as grandparents, as children, as friends, to give to each other. One of the things I told you, that there was a someone high up in the UUA, Unitarian Universalist Association, who, though a minister, had never served a church other than his internship, and he asked one of those great philosophical, theological questions. What do Unitarians have to say to people in extremis? What prayers do we offer? What comforts about eternity? What are our teachings? And any minister in the field could have said that the answer is not in those answers or in catechisms, but simply with, I am here. We don't have to have the answers. We don't have to fix the problems. We have to keep each other company. That's what we do as parents, as friends, in churches, in temples, in ashrams, in mosques. As human beings, the greatest gift we have is self-caring, demonstrated in time. The anthem the choir sang talked about missing things and regrets and how we carry around that sense of lost opportunity. Well, opportunities that were lost. But we make up for them not out of guilt and not simply out of regret, but from learning. The things that we didn't get that we want, it's not too late to make them happen, but maybe with somebody else. Maybe modeling with somebody else. Holding somebody else, helping somebody else, spending time with somebody else to make up for what we missed. And for those things that we didn't miss that were wonderful, great. Pass that on too, because ultimately it's time. The three outstanding memories from my dad were all times involving hooky, where he held me out of school. He held me out of school and said, stay home, you can watch the launch of John Glenn. He took me out of school to the first Dodger game in the L.A. Coliseum. He took me out of school for the first Angel game. Did I care about baseball? Not particularly. I cared about the time. When we say yes to each other's needs, when we understand our responsibility as parents, fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, friends, then we give that gift of self. The important ties are not made out of silk. They're made out of arms that hug and emotional ties that bind us together in this ephemeral, unrepeatable, and precious life.